Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
This is WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. We gave you that little update on Tiger Woods. He is currently 3 over on the wrong end of the projected cut line, but right now, Justin Thomas and Sung Jae-im could be the ones that could let Tiger into the field. They each, if either of them bogeys in one of their final 2 or 3 holes here, that would open the door for Tiger and a whole mess of other golfers to get on the right end of the cut line here. So we will be monitoring that for the rest of the way here. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find Sean Fairholm from Global Golf Post. He joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show live from Augusta National. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. Very cold and rainy here, but at least we're playing golf, so that's good.
It sounds like a forecast for Chicago as we're looking out at beautiful sunny skies, and I think we're actually going to be warmer up here than you are going to be down there, Sean.
That sounds about right. Yeah, it's going to be raining here throughout the entire day, basically, but no electricity in the air, so should be able to get the rest of round three when we commence that after round two closes. So should be a good day of golf and a very interesting day as well.
So that actually was the very first question out of the box. You do think we can get this in today, huh?
I think so. It seems like the heaviest rain is going to be early afternoon here. But, you know, it's very playable right now, and I don't think it's going to be heavy enough to really cause a lengthy delay in play at any point. I think tomorrow looks very nice. They said on the broadcast that we should be expecting sunny skies by the time that we finish tomorrow if we're able to do that. So the weather is looking better than we thought it could be this time yesterday.
Sean, I'm going to ask you to keep your amateur meteorologist cap on here. What about Sunday? What's things looking like for Sunday?
It looks like there's going to be some storms kind of early in the day that could, you know, could provide some issues. But by the end of the day, it looks like we should be having some decent weather. So I think, you know, if you're a betting man, I think we would get this golf tournament in by the close of tomorrow. So it's definitely great news to hear.
That is great news. I'll tell you, if you look at it right now, it almost looks like it's getting dark on the TV as we watch them there. But even in the darkness, Augusta National still looks just absolutely amazing. But, okay, aside from the weather, Sean, what's the vibe like with this whole LIV, PGA, Brooks, Koepka? What's the – behind closed doors, what's being said?
It's interesting. I think the LIV players have played okay for the most part. Obviously, Koepka has played incredible, and you have guys like Reed and Neiman, and Phil's played very well. So, there's been some decent golf played out of them. I think I've seen all of them walking around at some point throughout the week, and I think everyone's been treated very, very well for the most part. I think at Augusta, you kind of take away some of the drama that's happening throughout the rest of the year, and you kind of put that aside and just kind of focus on the golf. And the patrons have been extremely supportive everywhere I've been. I have not heard one single negative comment towards anybody. So it has been a very interesting dynamic. But I tell you what, seeing Koepka at the top of the leaderboard, and in one sense, it's very stunning, right? Just because of what we saw in the Netflix series and the fact that he really hasn't been a factor at majors in the past couple of years. Last year, he didn't finish better than, you know, a tie for 55th, I believe, in any of the four majors. But in another sense, you know, the fact that he's healthy right now and he has a chance to kind of get back into that major mode that he was in from 2017 to 2019, you know, we kind of should expect this if he is fully healthy and able to kind of get back into that same mentality that he was in before. And the way that he's playing right now just looks like such proper major champion, you know, championship golf right now. It's just really incredible how he's able to work the ball both ways and really just leave himself a lot of 10 to 20-foot putts right now that, you know, if they go in great, you know, if they don't, fine. And he just is tearing apart the par fives. He didn't make a single birdie on a par four or par three yesterday. Was 5 under on the four par fives. So that just shows you that he's really kind of taking apart this golf course in a very systematic way.
Sean Fairholmes, our guest here on the Jersey Mike's hotline of Global Golf Post. So, Sean, through the first, we're almost through two rounds now at Augusta. What to you has been the most notable thing that you've seen? I mean, there's been so many things to pick from, whether it's the fact that Brooks is leading, like you've been talking about a little there. Is it the fact that we've got an amateur sitting alone in third place right now? Or, I mean, even yesterday, too, we see a couple of trees come tumbling down. What to you has been the biggest thing that you've seen?
Yeah, the tree thing was very scary. That was incredible to see that. I'm so glad that nobody got hurt there. I think the number one storyline is probably, could we have a showdown here between Koepka and Rahm? You know, that would be, you know, you have a LIV guy, you have a PGA Tour guy going at it. Could we have a kind of a duel that goes down throughout the weekend? I think that would be, you know, if you were to drop a storyline, it's pretty hard to beat that one. But I did want to focus on Sam Bennett for a moment, because what he's doing here is really incredible. It's, you know, could go down as one of the great amateur performances in Masters history if he's able to, you know, make a run to stay in this golf tournament. And you know, a kid who's been through a lot in his life, you know, his dad had Alzheimer's and passed away a few years ago, and a lot has been talked about that story. But just a kid who doesn't have a very pretty golf swing. It's a swing that it kind of looks like Joaquin Neiman's a little bit. It's he doesn't hit the ball a long way. We started off the week talking about amateur Gordon Sargent, who, you know, has a 190 ball speed and really impressed everybody, and everyone was talking about him. And Sam Bennett, just a kid who has a ton of belief. You know, people kind of describe him as like a little bit arrogant, maybe a little bit cocky, but sometimes you kind of need that in golf. And he really doesn't seem that nervous. He even said in his press conference yesterday that he's not going to be nervous over the weekend. And I think it's fascinating to see how is he going to handle this moment. Is he going to, you know, not be able to handle this, or is he going to really, you know, stay in there and have a chance to win the golf tournament? Because that's what he says he wants to do, go out and win a golf tournament, which you know, it could be one of the most amazing stories we've ever seen if he's able to stay in this golf tournament and have a chance to win.
And that is such a great point, Sean. You know, when he was asked about what makes you think you can hang with Brooks Koepka, his response was, I know my golf game's good enough. I mean, what kind of amateur comes with that response in the media center at Augusta? So this kid has got moxie, and I'm looking for a lot of good things to happen from this Aggie.
You know, I followed him throughout the first 2 days, and I actually asked him this in the press conference yesterday, but I noticed multiple times throughout the round, you know, 5, 6, 7 times, he would just stand there and stare at one of the leaderboards, and just kind of look at the leaderboard. And, you know, you would think that an amateur in that position, you wouldn't really want to know where you stand. You just want to focus on the golf and be very intent on what you're doing. And he told me, I want to look at where I am. In college tournaments, I look at the leaderboards all the time. I want to know where I am. You know, he really wants to know exactly where he is in the golf tournament. He wants to chase down the leaders. He just kind of comes across as fearless, and it's really remarkable to see that he has that mentality as a young kid who's just finishing school right now. It really is incredible.
Well, sometimes youth will do that to us. You know, you'll just think that you belong there. And I think Sam is doing that. And, yeah, I think he's playing some fearless golf. And I think, honestly, he's taking the right approach. You know, the pressure's really on Koepka, Rahm, who, by the way, just birdied 17 to go one shot back as he's going up 18. So there's a chance we could have a tie for the top spot if Rambo can make birdie at 18. But getting back to Sam, I mean, really, his attitudes, the pressure's on them, not with me. And I think if he can maintain that through Sunday, I think good things are going to go his way.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was talking about, you know, the night before his second round on Thursday night. He's up at midnight on Instagram going through DMs and replying to people. And, you know, he's watching live from, he's watching the golf coverage and everything. And, you know, all the things that you would ask most players, they'd say, oh, you know, I completely tune all that stuff out throughout the week. And he's there. He's talking to fans. He's you know, replying to people on social media. He's watching all the golf coverage and everything. And it's very interesting. He's a kid who, you know, he just has a ton of moxie, and he would not be described as humble by a lot of people. And but he is able to play the game and at an extremely high level. And he really understands that this is control. I'm so impressed by how he was able to control his irons yesterday. And he's made so many of those 4 to 8 foot putts that you really need to make around Augusta National, keep your round going. And he's very impressive. It looks very sustainable too. He has only made one bogey throughout 36 holes. It's really a phenomenal golf for anyone, let alone an amateur.
Well, I mean, to go one bogey in 36 holes at putt check, for crying out loud, is a feat in itself, let alone doing it at Augusta as an amateur. But you know, you mentioned something about distance control, and as I see now, the rains are really starting to come down pretty hard and heavy there. Now we start dealing with water between the ball and the club face, and distance control and the amount of spin or the lack thereof. And I think that could be a problem and create problems, not only for Sam, but for the rest of the field. What is your take?
You know, a great example this morning is the 15th hole. You know, a lot of players, almost everyone has had to lay up there, and they're hitting wedges into that hole location that was kind of on the back middle part of that green. And you saw a guy like Justin Thomas, you know, hit it right up next to the hole and spin it all the way off, almost off the green. And it was almost a skills competition in how to control your spin. Rahm was able to do it on that shot and hit it right in close there and make a birdie at 15. And you had, you know, guys who were not able to control their spin. So I think a couple of things. One is that this golf course is so long now. It really is so long, which I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing a guy like Cameron Young play so well. I believe he's right up there right now and leading the field in strokes gained off the tee. And you know, he's one of the few guys who was able to take on the 15th hole in two. I think you're going to see that be a real factor here, is some of these guys are going to be able to get home in two on the par fives, where the majority of the field is not going to be able to do so because of how soft it is. And then when you can't get there, some of the spin control on with wedges into par fives and a few of these par threes as well, where you're trying to get back to kind of back hole locations, like the one they have on 16 right now on in the second round, trying to get all the way back there without spinning it off that ridge. There's so many different hole locations at Augusta National that's the challenge, is trying to take spin off and trying to control your distance. So it really is going to be an interesting challenge to see, you know, can some of the guys take advantage of their length and take advantage of the par fives? Are they going to be three shot holes for most of the guys? Because that could really be a pretty big factor for the rest of the tournament.
Sean Fairholm from Global Post, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. All right, big bogey just moments ago by Justin Thomas that has moved the projected cut line now to 3 over. That would include Tiger Woods in the final two rounds of the Masters if this were to hold. What have you seen from Tiger, Sean, in your early visions of him through his first couple of rounds here at Augusta? And he mentioned how he doesn't have many more of these left. How many more do you think he has left?
Yeah, so I mean, this would be 23 consecutive made cuts in the Masters, which ties the record set by Gary Player and Fred Couples. So just that accomplishment alone, if he were to make this cut, would be quite remarkable. The only time he missed the cut was in 1996 as an amateur, and then we all know what happened the year after, where he set every record known to man in 1997. So when I watch him now, I think, you know, it's so interesting at this part of his career, where he really is kind of the guy who's just, you know, soldiering along. And I don't think he really had much of a chance to ever win this golf tournament. So soft out there. I think he really needs a firm and fiery golf course to really contend at this point in his career, even compared to 4 years ago when he won here. It's just, he does not have the same stamina, the same ability to have the consistent ball speed throughout the entire week. He can get up to 180 ball speed, you know, for a given round or two, but he just does not have that ability throughout the entire tournament anymore. So a place like Liverpool were playing the Open Championship, you know, later this year, he could contend in that golf tournament. You know, if it's, you know, firm and fiery, I think he has a chance there. But it's so difficult watching him now, where he's trying to, you know, he's trying to hit long irons and trying to hit, you know, kind of longer clubs into par fours. And the way the game is played now, when you watch him versus a guy like Cam Young or something, it really is they're playing completely different games right now. And it's so hard. The margin for error is so thin. And a part of me wishes that he would miss the cut in a way so that he could kind of rest his body, because I don't think it's going to be a pretty scene watching him kind of, you know, trudge through these last 36 holes if he does make the cut. But at the same time, just an incredible accomplishment that he's been able to make so many cuts in a row. And he could basically show up here in almost any form and make the cut. And he never really ceases to amaze from that perspective.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that is kryptonite to Tiger is Father Time. I think that's going to be the one person who will end up being able to beat Tiger is Father Time. But, you know, Tiger aside, the other big name that we've been talking and expecting a lot of big things from was a man by the name of Rory. And Rory is not there. What happened to Rory this week? Because, I mean, the world thought this was his oyster this week.
Yeah, I think it's become such a mental and emotional thing. And I wanted to bring up a couple of points. I think the first thing is, you know, next year will be his 16th Masters start. And he's played 15 Masters at this point. And if you look at the kind of the plot chart of where Masters champions have won kind of relative to their careers, this would be an outlier for him to win at this point. You know, Sergio Garcia won his 19th start, and that's the record for how many starts before winning the Masters. Phil Mickelson won in his 12th start. But for the most part, the game's greats have won well before that mark. So I think there's kind of a reality setting in that this might not happen. This might, you know, it was kind of assumed that we would see him win the Masters at some point. And I think it's becoming a reality that I don't think this is going to happen. You know, it's funny. I wonder if this was the second major of the year, whether this would be different. And of course it's not. So it's kind of a moot point, but the fact that we have to wait from once the Open Championship ends, we have 8 months, and January, February, March, this is all that, you know, I'm sure that he's thinking about is this moment. And it just becomes such a mental, emotional thing. I don't really think it's that much of a physical thing, because we've seen him play well here. He's played well, but he just has not really had that many opportunities of legitimately contending on the back nine on Sunday, other than 2011, where he, you know, he famously fell apart. There really hasn't been that much. I mean, I know he finished second last year, but he really wasn't in the golf tournament to really win, because Scheffler was so far ahead. It's just it is very disappointing, I think, for everyone, the fact that he, you know, he really almost waved the white flag yesterday. He could have kind of fought and tried to make the cut, and it just didn't seem like he was there. It was almost like he sensed the disappointment and knew that he wasn't going to make it, and it wasn't going to be a part of the golf tournament, and kind of shut it down in a way. And I think it's very tough for golf fans to watch, because we, you know, collectively, I think everybody just wants him to have a chance to win it again. And that's such a, you know, a shared feeling, I think, amongst golf fans. And just the reality is setting in, this might not happen.
Well, watching him walk from the ninth green up to the 10th tee yesterday, he just looked like a beaten man. But as classy an individual as he is, there was a little girl who had her hand out, and he took the time to go over there and, you know, give her a quick high five and that kind of thing, even when life was not treating him in the way that he wished it was. But do you think all of this with Liv, do you think he was pressing a little bit too much this week just to kind of make a statement? Do you think any of that entered into this situation where he's gone home so early?
I think he's pressed a lot of the Masters throughout the years. I mean, there's quotes dating back to 2017 where he said, I'm not a good person to be around during Masters week. No one talks to me because there's so much pressure on it. And I don't know. I mean, you look at, you know, he has given so much of himself throughout the past couple of years here, right? And he's played well throughout a lot of that. He's played really well. He's won a lot of golf tournaments throughout that. And you look at, you know, he did the CBS walk and talk, you know, on the ninth hole during the first round. And even just a couple of months ago, he was saying he would never do that. He wasn't going to do that. At Waste Management, he was saying that's not something that he was going to do, is to talk to, you know, on the broadcast while he's playing. And I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is. I do know that he just feels a tremendous amount of pressure, and it's hard to really know what to do. It feels like, you know, he's joked that he's done every single thing, you know, different at different times preparing for the Masters over the years. He's tried playing the week before, not playing the week before, you know, arriving at different times. He's tried everything. And I think at a certain point, it becomes, there's an air of desperation around it. And you almost contrast that with, you know, Brooks Koepka, a guy who just kind of shows up and is playing and doesn't really seem to have that weight of the Masters or the history of it. He doesn't really seem to have that plaguing him anywhere near as much as Rory is. And Rory, in a lot of ways, his own self-awareness can be a detriment to him in a lot of ways. And I think that's a part of why he's always kind of struggled with the Masters.
Sean Fairholm, Global Golf Post, fantastic stuff. Appreciate you hopping on with us today. Stay dry and enjoy the final two rounds down at Augusta.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean.
Great stuff there from Sean Fairholm. When we come back, Mike, I do want to extend the conversation on Rory, because I think Sean said some fascinating stuff there, but also what it means as a whole now for looking at Rory McIlroy and his legacy. We'll do all of that when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Pleased to meet you. All right, only a handful of threesomes still on the golf course right now, two to be exact, before we close out round two. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bow Street Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. The CDGA Golf Show, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you here every single Saturday throughout the golf season from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Let's give away a Masters cap as well as a Masters Valuables pouch. So caller three, you will win the Masters hat. And caller five, you will win the Masters Valuable pouch. You just got to be callers three or caller five at 312-332-3776. It looks like Tiger Woods getting a little bit of help, Mike, not just from his buddy Justin Thomas, but also from Sung Jae-im, who bogeyed late. And it looks like Tiger Woods is going to make his 23rd consecutive cut.
That is absolutely amazing. And Mother Nature is certainly helping out right at the right moment, because the weather just looks awful at this moment when Sungjae is letting it rip on 18 as we speak. And, you know, sometimes good things happen to good people, and that's just what's happening to Tiger right now. So it is a feat. He goes into the same class, looks like, with Freddie Couples and Gary Player, and that's a pretty elite twosome right there.
Yeah, nice company to be a part of right there. I do have some stats on the early rounds versus the late rounds, and they are absolutely staggering. I'll bring those to you when we come back. We'll also have that Rory McIlroy conversation as well. The segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Talking all things Masters with you, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. Just saw a devastated Justin Thomas after he missed his par putt on 18. So now he finds himself on the wrong end of the cut line after looking pretty comfortable heading down the stretch there, at least a couple strokes to play with. But he will not be sticking around for rounds three and four. you know, some interesting stuff. I saw this flash up on the broadcast not too long ago, and I think some of these numbers maybe even grew as well. But the second round scores from the early window versus the late window. The early window finished at 18 over. The late window finished at 88 over. That includes the late start yesterday as well as the early start to close out round two today. The weather certainly taking a toll on a number of these scores. And I'd imagine with the struggles that we saw from Rahm and and Justin Thomas and Sung Jae-im down the stretch, I'd imagine that late window is north of 90 over right now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is, you know, it's night and day. It's Mother Nature is wreaking havoc down there, and there is carnage. And to see the look on Justin Thomas's face a moment ago, it was a look that you don't see often on his face. So it looks like he's heading home along with Rory and a lot of other big names. And it looks like Mr. Koepka is going to go start round three with a two-shot lead over John Rahm. And now it becomes a survival of the fittest for this afternoon.
There's nothing, I don't want to say worse than this, but I just, it would struck me very odd yesterday sitting down watching the Masters, looking outside in Chicago, and it is bright, it is sunny, it looks like ideal conditions to play a round of golf, even though maybe the temperatures were a little bit down. And then you look at your television and you see rain, darkness, you hear the horns going off, you see the wind blowing out there. It was, I feel like, very, very disheartening almost to see. It's like whenever you see an injury in a major sport, like, oh, some guy breaks an arm, right, or whatever. It's like, oh, you always go to Twitter and it's like, oh, take mine. I've got a good arm. Take my arm. It's like, take my weather right now up here in Chicago. We'd love for you guys to have the sunshine and the clear skies out there at Augusta. We'd gladly take the rain and the darkness here in Chicago because we're going to be inside watching the Masters anyway.
Exactly. And then throwing a few trees going down. I mean, is that abnormal or what? So this has been an unusually strange Masters to start weather-wise, and it may get even more bizarre as the day goes on. But to your point, I think we're more accustomed to being indoors up in our neck of the woods, sitting down, hunkering down, and watching the most beautiful place on earth as far as golfers are concerned at Augusta National. And I think it's just going to be polar opposite. I think a lot of us are out playing this morning, getting ready to go in and, I guess, watch them play in the rain. And it's a sad thing because we build this week up like no other, and we get here. And now, for at least the time being, the story is going to be the weather.
So, by the way, congratulations to Jerry, Michael, and Dan. They are our winners of the Masters contest today. Speaking of some of the weather as well, one guy who was not really impacted by the weather but will not be playing in rounds three and four is Rory McIlroy. We talked a little bit about it with Sean Fairchild a couple minutes ago and just talking about what it means for him. He's searching for that green jacket. He was one of the three kind of narrow favorites in this tournament. He is going to miss the cut by a pretty hefty sum. He's going to miss it by 2-3 strokes. And all of a sudden, we've got a completely different outlook on Rory right now. After last year, he finished in second in this tournament, but he was in, it didn't matter when you played on Thursday, the conditions were ideal. But then he played in the early window on Friday and kind of got out before all the storms came in and still posted a pretty poor score there. And it's got you asking a lot of questions about Rory's future at the Masters.
Absolutely it does. I mean, here's a guy, you know, after grinding out a 72 on Thursday, you know, went into the media center and just simply mentioned, I just need to tidy up a few things. But Friday was an unholy mess that he just could not clean up. You know, he drove the ball wonderfully. Okay. So he was actually almost gaining two shots around on just his driver. But then when he got to the fairway, his chipping around the green and on the greens, he lost approximately two shots in each one of those areas. That is so unlike Rory. So something was clearly amiss, and what needed to be tidied up maybe needed a huge garbage can to put all the rest of it in. I mean, I've never seen him play that bad under these kinds of conditions. The story, the narrative was so perfectly set up for him this week, but I still have the belief that he will get a green jacket in due time. I mean, Rory is still only 33 years old, so he's got a number of years, but from a mental perspective, this is going to leave a mark.
Sometimes you just got to get older, a little more mature as well, and it may help him get over this hump. Like when we were talking with Sean, him talking about all the pressure he puts on himself throughout the Masters week and the build-up to it, it's very notable. And now he joins a list of a couple other notables who missed the cut at the Masters this year alongside Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas, who we just mentioned missing the cut here in the final holes as well. But one other guy that I think he didn't get bit by this nearly as much, but I think a lot of the same things that you mentioned with Rory apply here to this guy, Scottie Scheffler, the defending champion. He finishes at one under through the first two rounds, tied for 28th right now in a group with Harold Varner, Dustin Johnson, Sepp Straka, Tommy Fleetwood, Tony Finau, Sahith Theegala, Abraham Ancer. But it feels like if you watched Scottie's game, it feels like he was playing much better golf. But once he got on those greens, something that made him so good last year, he kind of struggled with in this one.
He really did. And you never know. He could get this thing back, and the weather being what it is could bring the field back to him a little bit. But, yeah, the greens have got him a little perplexed. And I think the kiss of death is the hole-in-one he made on the par three contest because they say that nobody's ever made a hole-in-one and turned around and won Augusta, let alone win the par three contest but actually make a hole-in-one. But, yeah, it's amazing. It just goes to show you, like the great Gary Player once said, golf is a puzzle without an answer. And Rory can't find the answer. Scotty's searching for it, but still has time to find it and still could, you know, have a very strong finish. Will he win? Very doubtful. But could he still compete? Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting with the weather that we've got sitting out there right now. Again, it's going to be very similar. And a lot of these guys at the top of the board, like you look at Koepka, you look at Sam Bennett, you look at Morikawa, these guys didn't really have to go through some of these conditions out there that we're seeing right now. All right, what are you going to get in the face of adversity now with these winds, with the rain? It's going to be cold out. It's going to be miserable. How are you going to respond there? And for a guy like Brooks, who's had some injury concerns, how's your body going to hold up? And you brought up a great point earlier with the LIV guys. How are you going to handle this for two more rounds, not just one like you've been playing over the last year?
Yeah, and you know, honestly, as you go into this third round now, you've got to go into it with a totally different mindset. You've got to get your rain gear dried out as best you can to put it back on. You've got to get all the necessary infrastructure, and by that I mean towels and gloves and, you know, just to stay dry for the rest of the day. It's a different mindset than going out and trying to be aggressive. They're going to have to go on out and receive what the course will give them. And when the opportunity's there, grab it. But other times, they're going to have to play, I think, a little bit more conservative given the weather. And as I look down the leaderboard, a guy that I zero in on right away, as far as, you know, it reminds me of the old Seinfeld episode, your mutter is a mutter. Now we're trying to figure out who is going to operate best in these conditions. The name that jumps out off the page for me is Shane Lowry. The guy is built. You know, the wind, I don't know, that's going to move that body over putts. He's used to this kind of weather, being from Ireland. You know, he's four under, so a lot can happen. But a guy that's used to this type of environment is going to do well, and that is Shane Lowry.
You know, it's interesting you bring his name up, too, because he's one of those guys who played in that late window where everybody struggled, and he finished at an even par in his second round, while also having to wait overnight to close out that round as well. And he just sort of, you're right, seems a little unbothered by it. When we come back, we'll give you our predictions on how this thing finishes out, what the winning score will be as well, and we'll take a look around the CDGA when we come back This segment has been brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing today's show. Thank you to Sean Fairholm as well for joining us on the CDGA Golf Show. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. So just to get you a little leaderboard update, it looks like we are down the final stretch. Sungjae Im getting set to close out round two of the Masters here. Your standalone leader is Brooks Koepka at 12 under, John Rahm at 10 under, Sam Bennett, the amateur, he's in at 8 under, Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland each tied for fourth at 6 under, Jason Day, Sam Burns, Jordan Spieth, and Cameron Young each at 5 under and a tie for sixth, and then in 10th, you've got Gary Woodland, Phil Mickelson, Joaquin Niemann, Justin Rose, Russell Henley, Shane Lowry, all in a tie for 10th right now at 4 under. Some other notable names out there, Scottie Scheffler and Dustin Johnson, each at 1 under in a tie for 28th. You've got Xander Schauffele at 2 under in a tie for 20th, along with Patrick Cantlay there as well and Cam Smith. And then when you go all the way down, some of the last names to squeeze into the field, Tiger Woods makes his 23rd straight Masters cut, and he is in at 3 over through the weekend. So should be a very fascinating final two rounds here, as the weather certainly is going to play a big factor, Mike.
It certainly is. Unfortunately, it will be the story of the day, but it is the person who can gut it out and, you know, make, you know, lemonade out of lemons today and have an attitude of gratitude and get out there and make it happen and survive and get on to tomorrow, because I think tomorrow the weather is going to cooperate. We should have a wonderful Easter Sunday with family and friends watching the greatest tournament from the greatest golf course on earth.
Yep, should be lots of fun. All right, so seeing what you've seen so far out of the field, you hinted at, oh, maybe Shane Lowry could be the guy that emerges from the pack right now, but who do you think ultimately holds on and wins this thing and is wearing the green jacket on Sunday? Do you think Brooks can hold on, or is someone from behind him going to overtake here in these final two rounds?
Well, I honestly think that Brooks is going to put up one heck of a fight, but the mere fact that he hasn't played 72 holes is going to be apparent to us tomorrow, and I think that is going to break open the door for Mr. Rahm to go back to number one in the world and being the best player on the planet. And I think he is going to be putting on the green jacket come tomorrow afternoon.
I like Rahm's chances as well. The guy I'm going to go with, though, I'm going to roll with Colin Morikawa here. He is currently tied for fourth at 6 under. And I just think he's got a little charge in him as well. One of the younger guys on the tour, too. So I think that with these elements, he can sustain that. So I'm intrigued by what Morikawa's got for these final two rounds here. But now we look at what the score could possibly be, because right now Koepka is 12 under and he's played in picture perfect conditions. He's going to get far from that for these final two rounds. So what do you see as the winning score for the guy wearing the green jacket?
I think the winning score will be 16 under, sweet 16.
Yeah, I was going to go. I think it's going to be a little bit less than that. I'm going to go at 14 right now. I just think that with the weather that we're expected to get and just the scores that we saw, the differentiation between the late and the early rounds that we saw when we saw the graphic flash up on ESPN, the early rounds who played in ideal conditions, you can't get much better than that. They went 18 over. The guys who were in the late rounds that had to go through a lot of weather and sometimes even had to sleep overnight for their rounds, they were 88 over. So that is a massive discrepancy right there. And I see 14 as maybe being the winning score for this thing when it's all said and done. All right, real quickly, Mike, what do we have going on around the CDGA? You know, I'm a little bummed out. I'm feeling a little under the weather, so I didn't want to press it today. But I was supposed to get my first round in of the year up at Glenview Park. Was really looking forward to it. But I will actually be sitting today out. Cannot make it out there. But what do we have going on around the CDGA now that people are probably going to start getting some of their first rounds in today?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we hang up the line here, I'm heading out to Fox Bend to go play.
Love it.
So, yeah, the day is so nice here in Chicago. Going around the CDGA, well, first and foremost, I have to plead surrender. Congratulations to you. You are absolutely hammering me in fantasy golf. In fact, you are like 105th out of almost 4,000 players.
I'm doing pretty well. I will say,
doing very well.
My eyes have been locked on this majors challenge that we've run through the CDGA. My eyes have been locked on it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm doing so well, but I am persistently checking to see where I am after every single birdie, every bogey, a lot of eagles out there as well. So I've been keeping a close eye on this. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's fantastic. So going around the CDGA a little bit, we'll be quick here, but a big congratulations goes out to Martha Kuahara from Northbrook. I am holding up our CDGA Chicago District Golfer magazine. She is our cover girl. She went in, she wanted redemption, and she wins the drive, chip, and putt down at Augusta earlier this week for the 14 and 15-year-olds. She's a freshman at Glenbrook North. Ben Patel from North Aurora finished in fifth. William Comiskey from Hinsdale got a third place finish in the 10 to 11, and Emery Munoz from Lockport was ninth in the 7 to 9 year olds. We do out at Orchard Valley today. The Mid American Junior Golf Tour has its first event. They had the first round yesterday. Lane Ludwig -2, Caleb Nagley -1, and a fellow by the name of Charlie Gilligan -1. And yes, that is my nephew. And
love
lastly,
to see that.
Yeah. So join Tyler, myself, and a lot of other notable ESPN personalities for our July 28th ESPN CDGA Golf Listener Appreciation Outing on July 28th at Glenview Golf Club. Noon shotgun start, cdga.org for all the information. Love to see you out there in July.
Awesome. Can't wait. All right. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the rest of the Masters.